Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, where we looked last week. Looking at some phrases describing God and who He is, which is important at times to think about God and who is He. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Encourage us. And though we realize that we are human and living in this fallen body, we cannot fully appreciate your greatness, but help us to somehow realize a little bit more of how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 13, we looked at, he says, who quickeneth all things, which means God alone has given life. He has created the world that you and I see in. And he also has kept the world. He's kept the world and made sure that all life continues to function. Verse 14 says, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, both his power is demonstrated in his creation and giving of life, and his power is seen that one day when Jesus Christ will come back. Until now, God allows wickedness to rule. God allows wickedness in this world, but there will come a time when Jesus Christ will come in the sky, the world will see him, and that will be it. And he will begin eternity at that point. He is patient now, but at that time there will be no more. Then we look this morning at just one phrase, verse 15. He says, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed? Who is the blessed? And that's what we're going to talk about today, the blessedness of God. The blessedness of God. Or, as for another translation said, he who is blessed. In each phrase in this, it is building to show the incomparable greatness of God. You can't compare God to any one of us or to anything or anyone. He's incomparable. And so he builds a little concluding statement to show each trait. And now he talks about he who is blessed. What is the meaning of blessedness? He's talking about God. The word blessed means to be happy, content, or fulfilled. It doesn't mean that God is blessed and receiving things. It means as to his very nature and his character, he is blessed, he is happy, he's content, he is fulfilled. When referring to God, it describes several things about him. First, it describes his lack of unhappiness. God is never unhappy. God never has a dull moment. God never is sad. God is never unhappy. He is always happy, no matter what the circumstances are. It describes his lack of frustration. The word frustration means disappointment or plans have been hindered. God is never frustrated. God is blessed within himself. He is never frustrated. He is never stopped by anything that goes on. Anything that happens in the world that may frustrate us, and we look at things that happen, it may frustrate. It doesn't frustrate God, because God is totally blessed and content and happy in control of himself. Thirdly, it means no anxiety. Anxiety means distress, uneasiness, worry about things. All the things of the world may worry you. All the things in the world may make you anxious. All the things in the world may trouble you. But God is never anxious. He is totally at peace. He is totally blessed. He is totally content because he is God. Another word means he is content. He has ease of mind. He is satisfied. Satisfied means to have your needs fulfilled and desired. God is content and God is satisfied. There's nothing that ruins his contentment. There's nothing that ruins his satisfaction. He is completely and totally blessed in the sense that he has all that he needs and he is complete within himself. It means to have peace, to be free from strife and disorder. I can assure you in the presence of God in heaven, there is peace because God is there. There is no strife. There is no disorder. There's no back talking. There's no problem because God's presence is there. When God's presence is there, there is a blessedness, a contentment, and a peace about life. He's fulfilled, totally satisfied with all that is. He's totally fulfilled, and finally, he is perfectly joyful. God within himself is the blessed one. He is continually blessed, satisfied, at peace, fulfilled, content in all. Nothing disrupts his character. Now, while some things please him and some things may alter his pleasing of things because of the way sin is, it never changes God's contentment. God is never upset, oh no. What am I going to do? These people are living evil over. He is perfectly blessed and content within himself. He controls everything for his own joyous ends. We are created by him for his pleasure and for his enjoyment. God is completely content and blessed. If you were to go to heaven today and you could just stay 10 minutes in the presence of God, whatever worry, whatever distress, whatever problems, whatever you had would be completely gone because you would be in the presence of God. He is not as we are. When Jesus Christ became human, he experienced emotions, but he never lost who he was and is as God. God, before the world ever was God. Content, pleased, happy. And nothing anyone does will alter that. No matter how many wars they may be, no matter how many people may shake their fist in God's face, no matter how much sinfulness happens in the world, God may not be pleased, but God is not uncontented and upset and bothered. His wrath remains, but his wrath doesn't alter his contentment and his joyousness and all that God is. He who is blessed, that's who God is. Now, when you think everybody says, you know, I'm just as good as God. I'm just as righteous. I'm okay to stand before God. Well, you need to clarify who God is and who we are as human beings. We as human beings are not entirely contented, not entirely happy, not entirely blessed, not entirely just fulfilled in life. If you especially go to the unsaved world, they are very unhappy. Now they may claim they are, but they're very unhappy, very uncontented, very upset, very angry at things in life. But God is not. God is totally blessed and content. And those of us who enter into a relationship with God can enter into some of that calm. Now, because we're fallen and because we struggle within these bodies, both physically and sinfully, we cannot fully be as God is. But when we enter into a relationship with him, we can enter into his calmness and his blessedness and his joy and his peace, and his fulfillment, and his contentment. Because that is who he is. Now, we'll not fully realize it but we can enter his presence. I want to give you several scriptures. Psalms 2 says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Part of entering into God's presence is to put our trust in him. And it says we're blessed. And I'm not talking about the modern day idea of blessing that people have that go around saying, "I'm blessed." Some people have the idea, "I'm blessed. And because I'm blessed, God will favor me and I'll get the front parking spot." Even a preacher said that one time, "I'll get the front parking spot. I'll get everything." No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about using God to get things. We're talking about when we enter into God's presence and we trust him, we're blessed in the sense that he can change our hearts and our lives. Psalm 34 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Did you know what? Taste is a figure of speech. And when you taste something, you experience it. What he's saying, experience the fact that God is good. You know, if you were to hang around and go to the places where they're evil and spend 30 minutes with them and their corruptness, versus you would go and spend 30 minutes with a fairly decent, good person, you would notice there's a difference in atmosphere. Well, taste and see the Lord is very, very good to us. You're alive. You're breathing. You have a house. You have cars. You have clothes. You have blessings. You have a lot of things. But most of all, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And he says, taste. And then again, he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 40 says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. There's a lot of lying going on today. A lot of lying about who God is and who Christians are and how we are. But those who put their trust in God will find just maybe a tad of his blessedness come into the life. Psalms 84 says, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." There was a boy on a train and he was riding by himself. And a lady who sat across from him observed this, and they'd been riding for a while, and finally she just couldn't stand it anymore, and she said, "Young man," said, "Yes, ma'am," said, "I see you're riding by yourself. Are you scared? Where are you going?" First she said, "Where are you going to?" He said, "I'm riding the train all the way to the end of the line." "That's a long way." "Oh, okay. Aren't you a little scared?" He said, "No, ma'am. My daddy's the conductor." Well, I got news for you. Our Heavenly Father is the conductor while we're on this train of life, and he's there to take good care of us. Psalms 112 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." It's not just we are blessed from the Lord because we trust in him, but we also because we respect him and we greatly desire his commandments and obedience to them. I often use the illustration of driving down the road. And what if I just said one day, "I'm tired of this, having to drive on the right side of the road and having to drive in the right lane where people pass me. I'm just going to keep altering lanes." And then one day I just decide I'm going to drive on the other side of the road. And then I'm going to decide to run the red light because I'm tired of all these rules. You know what chaos I'd bring to people? I'd bring a lot of chaos. Well, when people don't obey the rules, there's a lot of chaos in life. You can't avoid God's standard and God's ways. And blessed is the person who will keep his commandments. There's a blessing. There's an encouragement from that. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Those who walk not in God's ways and those who walk in God's ways will find more contentment and peace and fulfillment and enjoyment in life. If you don't think so, I'd be happy to tell you to quite a few surveys that have been happened. They've taken a lot of surveys over the years. And you know what? Harvard recently took a survey. You know, the big, lofty place, Harvard. They took a survey and they were absolutely shocked. They could not believe it. What is going on? They found that people who had a religious inclination were happier than those that didn't. And Harvard was just shocked. What do we do with this? Because we want to get rid of God. We don't understand this. Well, I understand it. Those who walk with the Lord, doesn't mean everything's going to be rosy. Doesn't mean you always feel all right. But it does mean that God is very gracious and good to you. Simon said in Matthew 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know how you're saved? You didn't climb up the ladder and go, "Hey, I found the way." No, God in his grace pulled back the curtains and helped you to see. And God told Simon, "Blessed are you because you've seen, but it's because my Father has revealed it to you." It says in Galatians 3, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." He's talking about those who've been saved are blessed as Abraham. We experience goodness and blessings and enjoyment. Two guys were out quail hunting. One was a fervent Christian, and the other one was not. And the one who was not a Christian said, I don't understand it. You know, sometimes you seem to have some troubles, and sometimes it seems as if temptation comes after you more than it does me. And he said, you know why? I said, why? He said, well, you know, when we're out here shooting for quail, we don't go and shoot the dead ones. You're dead spiritually. Devil's already got you. He doesn't care. You know who we shoot out here? We shoot the live ones out here. Who do you think Satan goes after? He said, he don't go after you. He's already got you. He comes after me because I'm one of the living ones. He wants to destroy us and tear us down and defeat us and bring us to where we can't serve him anymore. Don't worry. God still is there to watch over us. Romans 4 said, "Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." We preached on these recently, that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're declared righteous. We're forgiven of our sins. And in each case, he says, blessed are the ones who have that. Every day, because we're saved, God is with us. And we need to realize we're blessed. Not in circumstances, but internally. In who we are and how God works in us and how God encourages us and how God lifts us up and how God blesses us. Because we're saved, we're blessed of him. James 1 says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, him being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You know what the Bible is saying? The one who doesn't just hear the Bible, "Oh, yeah. Oh, well, preacher, let's see, you did preach on Romans lately, huh?" "I done forgot it." "Oh, well, you know, I'm busy." "You forgot it? I didn't mean you had to remember a sermon. You just forgot it. I gave you one assignment. Each day realize because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of his death on the cross and his righteousness in heaven, you should look up in heaven and realize that God is with you and God is for you." "Oh, I forgot that, preacher. I'm on to the next thing." Well, you're forgetful here. But a doer of the work is the one who shall be blessed in his deed. You see, if you didn't take that simple truth, and say, "Oh, that's a good man, preacher. Woo, that sent me over. That was such a great sermon. I forgot it, though. It's good, though. I forgot it. I didn't mean you had to remember everything about it, but you had to remember the basic truth and say, hey, well, you know what? You were forgetful here, and you didn't get to be blessed then. You didn't get to experience the joy of the Lord because you were forgetful here, not a doer of what you heard. No matter what the opposition, no matter what trials or persecutions, we can be at peace with God because that's who God is. I didn't mean that living in this fallen body, you won't cry. You won't fall to pieces. I didn't mean you might not have some difficulties, but for the Christian, there's a difference between the unsaved and the Christian. Even though physically, I'm physically having some troubles, but even though physically, the Lord is still with me. He's still keeping me. He's still protecting me. He's still watching over me. I'm still going. And His grace is sufficient. This peace is not just external circumstances, but it's based on the knowledge that God is control. Believers are blessed because they're in union with God, who is the Blessed One. If Jesus Christ were to walk in here for 3 minutes and put His arm around you, I will guarantee you this, you'd be calm, you'd experience peace, you'd know joy, you'd know fulfillment, you'd know contentment. Now, does that mean it's just God and that's it? Remember my story of a little girl who prayed and said, Daddy, I'm scared at night. Would you come in my room? He said, okay, but here's what you need to do. You need to pray that God would watch over you and take care of you. Okay. So she did that. But then she cried out, Daddy, Daddy, I'm scared. So, well, did you pray for God to watch over you? Yes. But Daddy, I need somebody with some skin on right now. Yes, we trust God and we believe in God, but sometimes we need one another. We don't need folks that are doing well, I don't. What's your problem down there? We need folks to say, okay, I'm praying for you. Keep going. When you're having good times, be encouragement to others. When you're having low times, maybe someone will be an encouragement to you. Yes, we know sometimes we trust the Lord, but we also sometimes need somebody with some actual skin on. Paul said, blessed is the God of all comfort who comforts us in our tribulation. And then he says, so that we can then comfort others in the way God comforted us. And sometimes you need one another. You need encouragement from one another. You need strength from one another. You need folks to help you and to encourage you. And you need to say things to others that are encouraging. It isn't just that we're blessed because of God, we are, but we're also blessed because each one of us has God, and we ought to extend that to others in giving them encouragement. I'll tell you a little hint of something. You don't know all. Probably somewhere first of summer, as I usually do before a new year starts, I began to re-examine my ministry and my Bible study and all that's the church and begin to kind of make preparations for some different things and to kind of really improve and do better. I'm always amazed at how difficult it gets. It is absolutely, I don't even want to tell you the things that have happened externally and the things that have happened physically because of just trying to step out and do it a little better. And sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes that's the way the devil doesn't want blessings. He wants to stop us. He wants to discourage us. Oh, well, you know, I gave it a shot and the church wasn't nice to me, so I'm just going to go and leave, not be in church anymore. Well, that's not what God wants, because God wants to keep you going. God is there with you no matter what. But it is amazing how the enemy wishes to stop us. But you know what? He's not going to win, because God's on your side, and God will bless you, and God will keep you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious and wonderful word. And we realize it was just one phrase, but in that one phrase is packed a whole lot. The blessedness of God, who is blessed, not externally, but within your nature. You are totally, completely content, peaceful, never unhappy, never frustrated, never not calm. Even in your anger and wrath is always never done in a fit or some strange emotional reaction. You are clearly a very blessed God, and we thank you. Lord, help us to experience some of that in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.